Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning discussing what is a weekly tradition at this point, a Titans debacle, a disaster once again out there. And to help us through that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm offering to pivot today. We could discuss the happenings in the NFC North yesterday.
Yeah,
where, you know, the Carson Wentz era was unleashed, where the Green Bay Packers showed their true colors.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams took the first step to Canton.
There we go.
Yes.
I mean, we could discuss Marcus stepping in for Washington and getting the job done.
Yeah, seriously, is Marcus, and I might just not be thinking about it, he's got to be one of the top three backups in the league, right?
I don't know. I mean,
Robbie would put him about 30.
Rex Road said last year that Mason Rudolph was top five backup, so I couldn't tell you.
Wow. Damn. But, I mean, Gardner Minshew would be a pretty good one. I mean, you never know what you're going to get.
Kirk Cousins.
You know, he's okay. Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
I don't think he did a whole lot yesterday.
Well, I was going to say, maybe they should have gone to Kirk yesterday with the nice shutout in Carolina. Huh?
You know, stuff. Okay, so I know we're going to get to the Titans debacle, and there's plenty to go there.
I like how we're avoiding it, actually.
Yeah.
What performance is worse, losing to the Colts 41-20 or losing to the Panthers 30-0?
Well, especially when you're supposed to be a reasonably good team.
Yeah.
It's definitely that.
Yes. I would vote that. Yeah.
We know the Titans are cheeks.
Is it cheeks or buns? Which one are we going with?
The 10 of cheeks tight buns.
Yeah.
Okay.
You like Court that? Does not sound excited about that.
Okay.
Just wait till you hear my. Just wait till I try out my Brian Callahan nicknames on you, Corey. I'm going to get your opinion.
Oh, God.
On
yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, let's start there, Corey. They're 0-3. Yep. They are 3-17 with Brian Callahan as the head coach.
Yep.
To me, it's one thing to be losing, right? Like, it's bad enough. It's another thing entirely to actively be a detriment to your team, which I think you can make a very clear case that Brian Callahan has been to this point this season. So what do you make of that, and where do you think things currently stand with him?
Well, I said last night on our show, I said, you know, he could not afford a day like this, not after what happened in Denver. He needed to not be a topic of conversation for weeks, okay? And now he is. I mean, regardless if you make or miss the field goal, if you're conservative or too aggressive, not knowing what you're going to do is a problem. And, I mean, when you hand the ball off on third down, you should know what your next play is. You just should.
Yeah.
I mean, the clock's ticking. And if you want to play for three, people may not like it, but you can justify it. You can absolutely justify it. It would have been, 20-9? It's still an 11-point game.
Well, no, it says they got a field goal. They got a
okay,
the Colts got a field goal because
17-9.
Of the – yeah, it would have been 17-9.
It would have been an 8-point game. It would have been a one-possession game going to half. You absolutely – but to just be so unsure of what you want to do is damning. And to go through two timeouts and you know, to have a guy, I've never seen a cornerback line up in the neutral zone before. That's shocking. But the worst part is to have Michael Pittman say after the game, we could tell they didn't want to play.
Yep.
And look, players say that stuff when they win big about the other team. I mean, they do. But then when the other team says in their very own locker room, yeah, we were flat, we weren't ready. That's a problem, because when you decide, I'm never a fire the coach guy, because I think quite often it's overrated. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, because like right now the biggest question for the Titans is what's best for Cam Ward for the rest of 2025. That's really the only question the rest of the way. What's best for this kid the rest of the way to advance him? But when you hear a team isn't ready to play, that's a really big question, and that makes you have to think and figure out what's the next step.
Yeah, because from every angle, it's an indictment of the coach, and I think that's an underrated part of yesterday, Corey, is the defensive side of the ball and how lifeless and weak they were. I mean, yeah. The Colts are good. Jonathan Taylor's, I mean, like, but still, like, there were some stretches on film that, to me, even looked different than the first 2 weeks, right? Like, they've gone down a notch or two. All right, let me ask you. Well, first of all, I think Brian Callahan is a nice Ken Whisenhunt, so I'm going with Whiz Kid. But you also could do, like, nice Whiz. See, Corey liked it. Okay, that's an approval. But let me ask you this, Corey. Like you said, it's this year. Cam Ward has always been the focal point. He is the focal point of the franchise. Do you think it's an inevitability at this point that he will have a new coach next season?
I mean, look, if I had $100 and I had to push it all on the table one way or another, that's a very easy bet to make.
Yeah. And to that point, Corey, like we get – so caught up in continuity, and I get it. I understand that you want continuity,
absolutely.
Right? But, like, I think we've reached the point with Callahan, unless something changes dramatically here. Like, the question I'm going to start asking if I'm the Titans is, like, is Brian Callahan a detriment to Cam Ward? Like, is he a detriment to getting Cam Ward to where you want him to be?
Well, and that's why I say that's the most important thing is even if you know you're going to move on after the season – you know, can he still coach the quarterback? Can he still help this kid develop and become the player that you want him to be? Or is he going to get him hurt? I mean, that was the whole thing with, you know, Whisenhunt was he was going to get somebody killed. And so, you know, I did think they ran a lot more play action yesterday, which was really good to see. You know, so that was a positive. And, you know, Cam did some stuff well yesterday, and there was some stuff that he – you know, like the ball to Chig over the middle, he's got to complete that one. I mean, that's, you know, he's running down the seam. He's got to put a little touch on that. But that is the big question is, you know, what's best for this kid the rest of the way? I mean, look, it's not going to change your season, you know, to change head coaches. But if the team's not ready to play and you don't think they're going to be ready to play, that's another question. I don't know what the answer to that is. And, you know, frankly, I think the players, you know, also need to look in the mirror big time. That 3 weeks in, you know, because we're all obviously leaning on the head coach. Well, it's the third game of the season. You're 0-2, and you've got the first place team in your building. You could be within a game of first place, and you're not ready to play. Callahan deserves a ton of indictment here. There's no question about it. But so do the guys in the locker room, okay? They are not ready. Roger McCreary stood up and said it. Legarius Sneed stood up and said it. You know, that. You know, it is on them. They are the players. They need to make the plays. They need to be ready to play. And the fact that they only get 17 cracks at this, guys. 17 cracks. And to not show up and be ready to just leave it all on the field, you know, to make sure your bucket's empty, however you want to put it, is, how many times do we always hear we need guys who love ball, all right? It's time to find out who loves ball. And the ones who don't can go watch.
It's exciting to be having this conversation 3 weeks into the year.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been here before. That's the thing is I've been.
Well, let's compare this. Yeah, let's compare this to the depths of the Whisenhunt era. This versus that.
Yeah. It's bad. The reason the Whisenhunt was worse was because he was so stubborn that he knew everything and wasn't willing to listen to anyone about anything.
Seems like Brian Callahan's opening up the whole staff to tell him quick decisions on the sidelines. I mean, it's like the opposite, huh?
Yeah, probably a little bit too much. It's just. Yeah, I mean, the personalities are completely different, but the results are unfortunately completely the same. I mean, there's the whole Parcells thing. You are what your record says you are. You're 3-17, and you were non-competitive yesterday. There was never a moment where that game was competitive. There was never a third down on defense where you thought they were going to get the stop. There was never a moment where you thought they were going to get a turnover and flip the game. You just didn't think those things were happening. Now, I always say, you know, Jimmy Johnson went 1-15 his first year. Dan Campbell was a disaster the first year in Detroit. But usually, there's something you can hang your hat on that they're going to build from. I don't see, other than Cam Ward, you know, what are they building on? That's what I'm, you know. One of my favorite lines from a movie ever is Apollo 13, when Ed Harris walks in the room and says, "What is it on the spaceship that works?"
Yeah.
It's, that's where we're at.
That's where we're at. So, lastly for you, Corey.
Yeah.
If you're Amy Adams Strunk watching all this, you've got obviously the record, that's which is bad enough, but you also have the number one overall pick as your quarterback. And through the first 2 weeks, nobody's showing up to the game. Like, you saw the crowd yesterday. There's no one there. Yeah. Like, there's no one watching
and
this football team play.
Quarter.
And then they all left, the people who did show up. So what do you do with that if you're Amy Adams Strunk? We all know the new stadium's coming, and everybody's focused on the new stadium. But, like, right now, it feels like a fan base that, is mad, but is not that far away from just being totally checked out with this football team.
Well, no, they are checked out, Robbie. They've given up, and why? And you know, that's, you know, Jeffrey Simmons said after the game, you know, bring some of that booing energy when, you know, the opponents have the ball on third down. Well, you got to give them a reason, buddy. And I'm not just blaming Big Def here. I'm just saying, as a team, you know, you've got to make them believe that they can help you, and that right now the team is not giving them a reason. They're not giving them a reason to care. They're not giving them a reason to show up. They're not giving them a reason to believe that they've got anything worth rooting for. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. I am really old, okay? And I remember watching the Chicago Cubs every day in the late 70s put lineups on the field that couldn't beat a Triple-A team. And, you know, there'd be 3,000 people at the game every day. And there's a reason. There was nothing there worth watching. And right now, they're not giving fans anything worth watching, anything worth getting excited about. They're just not. Fans, I always say hope isn't a strategy. It's not, but it's the basis for being a fan. And right now, these fans don't have any hope. And if you don't give them a reason for hope, they're not going to show up.
Corey? Great stuff as always, man. Thank you, sir. We wish it was more more positive, less depressing to talk about this football team, but it is what it is.
How many touchdowns
bear
did
down.
Caleb throw yesterday?
I don't know.
I think
was
he
it,
threw four.
Was it four.
Hashtag bear
four.
Down.
Four. How many touchdowns did they score in the Browns-Packers game combined?
Two.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of these fleeting moments that you'll have this year, Corey.
I really, really do, because we know the rest of the season is going to go horribly for me. So I've just got to live in this moment.
Ah, man, you that's right. You're putting your feet on the ground and live in the moment.
I keep receipts. It's fine.
Yeah. Next week we're 1-3, Robbie.
How's it going now, Corey? How's it going now?
Is that what I sound like?
Oh, that's an interesting impersonation of Robbie.
Jeez. Hey, the Preds scored 10 goals yesterday.
Yeah, hey, come on. Now we're talking. Let's go, Preds.
That team there. Surely won't be buns, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Last year was so buns.
Corey, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Corey.
All right.
Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We will continue the Brian Callahan discussion coming up next. I'm done with the guy, and I think the Titans should give serious consideration to moving on for Brian Callahan. We will discuss that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today. Prior to the Monday Night Football game, head up there, watch the Lions and Ravens, plus ask about Circa's giveaway for a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game coming up in October. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. So, Joe, let me be very clear. I'm done with Brian Callahan. I'm out. I'm done on Brian Callahan, and I have, you know, I said this to begin the show. I've heard everybody screaming about Callahan after the first game against Denver, even into last week, and my thought has always been, I don't think the guy's a good coach. I think he's eventually going to get fired, and he's shown nothing to me to this point to prove that he's going to save his job at any point. But it's the National Football League, and you just don't see in-season coaching firings all that much. Certainly you don't see in-season coaching firings early in the year all that much. So I've just not really thought about it. I'm like, he's going to get fired at some point, and I've been resigned to it that we're going to be talking about another head coaching search for the Titans at some point toward the end of the year. But I will say, like, after yesterday, the only question I've got in my mind right now is it doing more harm than good to actually keep him? Like, has it reached the point where you would be better off just moving on at this point, even if it is week four coming up, rather than having him hang around and be a detriment to your quarterback? I think that's a serious question that the Titans need to be considering right now. Like, is he a detriment to your quarterback? Because there's no doubt he's been a detriment to your team
right
through the first 3 weeks. Yeah. He is actively hurting your football team as head coach.
Yeah. As a game manager, in terms of the operation, he's hurt them to the extent that he is getting league-wide attention for the botching of situations. Is he hurting Cam Ward? That is, if there's any question about that, then I would agree that just move on. You move on from him, your offensive line coach walks out the door the same day, and I understand.
That'd be a big loss.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, obviously, it's not going great. They haven't had J.C. Latham. I still think that, like, Bill Callahan is pretty good. His entire career would tell you so. But, I mean, you have to think about, so then what do you do? If you, okay, so Brian's out, Bill's out. They're both gone. So you have to, you know, spackle all that, move people around. I guess, like you said earlier, Fossil or Denard Wilson would be the interim head coach.
Mike McCoy, somebody.
So, honestly, like, some of the question is, like, we've talked last week about talking to Cam Ward. Who does he trust most? Who is he working with? Like, who does he like? Who does he truly like? Is Bo Hardigree someone he really trusts? Where it's like, okay, Brian's out of here, but he and Hardigree, that's really where he's working on all the fundamentals, and it's a good relationship, so it's fine. Or is it Brian? And it's like, so now you're just gonna the rest of the year, you know, the kid's just out there floating around. And he doesn't really have anybody who's, you know, who works with him. I mean, these are questions that I don't know the answer to, but I think you have to ask yourself, yes, is he hurting him? Well, then it's an easy decision. Is he helping him? Is there still good stuff going on there despite the complete CEO disaster that's going on over here? Well, then I think you go through the year and you fire him at the end of the year. But it also may get so bad if there's another thing like this, if they get to 0-1, whatever, they're getting blown out week after week after week. At some point, you make a move, but this front office slash this owner, I believe, would not at this point want to, because then, again, look at them and be like, so you idiots decided to keep him, and now 3 games in, you're already out? What, do you have any sort of decision-making capability of your own? What are you doing? It's just a continuation of a grease fire.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. And look, let me be clear. The problems in this organization run deeper than Brian Callahan. We all know that. The problems are deeper than Brian Callahan. But there's also no doubt that right now he's a huge problem. Like, he is a huge problem. And I know that the roster's bad. We've had some people talk about this. You know, the expectations for the Titans this year were very low. So I get all that. Like, the Titans have a bad roster. They have a bad team. Nobody expected the Titans to be good. They should not be this bad. I'm sorry. Like, it's the National Football League. You should be competitive from time to time. And they have lost. They have lost 17 games out of 20 with Brian Callahan as their head coach. And 9 of those have now been by double digits. Like, the Titans have a bad roster. The Titans don't have the worst roster in the history of football, which you would trick yourself into believing if you watched them play for any length of time because of how bad they are. And to me, that is their coach. Like, their coach is awful. Like, at some point, when the numbers and everything about it is screaming to you that this is what this guy is, at some point you have to stand up and say, yeah, I think it's just what this guy is. He's 3-17 as a head coach, and they're not getting any better. They're getting worse, and it's hard to believe after the season they just went through last year. But they are getting worse. It's awful.
Yeah, it's a stunning 3-game ability to just turn everything on, turn your head coaching career on its ear. That's what he's done. Again, like, he didn't do these things last year. 2 out of 3 games, he has been the story. That's hard to do. Like, it really is hard to do. And those two things now, the rule thing And then this thing before halftime the other day, like those things are going to follow him. They're going to be remembered.
And by the way, and you know, Mitchell brings this up, and it's a good point. The things that we are criticizing Brian Callahan for to this point in the season don't have anything to do with the roster. It's, hey, you've got the football on your own seven right before halftime against a defense that you've not been able to really move the ball against all day. Maybe now's not the best time to try to throw the ball down the field, right? Or, hey, you know, the receiver got the elbow down there. You might want to think about challenging that play, Brian, because it's a catch in the National Football League. Or yesterday, hey, the Colts called a timeout. The Titans called a timeout. Let's see if we can't get a decision to come in about whether or not you're going for it on fourth down. Like, these are very simple things that don't happen in the National Football League.
He did win a challenge yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Which allowed the Colts to kill more clock.
Yeah, he did.
I think he's short. Like, if they win this challenge, it'll be second and 2 inches rather than first and 10.
Give me that red flag, baby.
Yeah, let's throw it.
Hey,
throw it.
It goes on the win. It's a win-loss on the win-loss ledger. It's a challenge win. Congratulations, Brian Callahan. I got people throwing out, we got, you know, obviously we're talking a lot about Wisenhunt. I've seen a Hugh Jackson. I mean, these are the kind of people that he's being compared to right now. Someone said 3-17 is the worst percentage in NFL history for 20 games. Someone had a graphic.
I saw that graphic. I don't know where that comes from. I'm not saying it's wrong.
I mean, Wisenhunt certainly was.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's wrong. I didn't see, like, the source cited on it. I just saw the graphic. So I need to do some digging into whether or not that's actually true.
Yeah. It was a nice graphic, though. Meanwhile, we got some Colts fans talking trash. I got Kevin and Nashville saying, you guys feel good about beating my Jags now? There you go. Hey.
They might go 0-17. Like, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to joke around. And it's the NFL. It's a long season. They should luck their way into a win at some point along the way. But, like, I was watching them yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, they might not win a game. They very well could get through the whole year and not win a game.
The attitude of that game as it went on, just down, more and more down.
Yeah.
It did feel like they kind of quit. And so you do worry. Like, as soon as you start the game, one little bad thing happens,
and they're just
checked
out.
Just snowballs the rest of the entire game.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation. But Jeffrey Simmons is, we should.
Well, we'll get into that coming up next.
Jeffrey Simmons Brian Callahan.
Had some interesting comments after the game yesterday. We will get into what he said coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So Jeffrey Simmons noticed the booing that was going on at Brian Callahan's expense yesterday, and had some interesting comments as it relates to the booing after the game. Here is what Jeffrey Simmons had to say after the 41-20 loss to Indianapolis yesterday.
Yeah, when you hear the boos from the fans, how does that make you feel?
It sucks. I mean, hopefully we could use some of that energy on third down. When we on the field, hopefully they could use some of that energy. You know, I mean, they had a lot of energy booing, and, you know, yeah, they pissed off, but, you know, let's piss off the offense, the opposing offense. You know, use that energy on third down to make some noise and boo their offense. You know, I don't like that. I'm sure that, you know, other teams around this league, you know, I mean, what, the Texans 0-3? It's probably going to be some more teams 0-3 today. So, and I'm sure they're not booing their team. You know, this is a hard-ass job to go out there. You know, to play this game, it's hard. And, yeah, it's supposed to be hard. You got to get paid to do it. Well, you know, we out there, and I'm sure nobody just trying to lose a football game. So, like I said, hopefully we can use some of that energy on third down and when the defense takes the field, especially home games.
So that was what Jeffrey Simmons had to say after the game yesterday. Joe, your thoughts on that?
Well, that was good. Here's some more from Jeff Simmons on the booing. Quote, at the end of the day, that bleep's kind of personal. That's my head coach. We're out there fighting for each other. He's a coach of this football team. He fights for us, especially myself. I take a lot of pride in fighting for the people who fight for me. I feel like when they boo him, they're booing all of us. Here's more, too, from Jeff. He says, quote, we can talk about the end of the half, but Cali can't go out there and tackle nobody. Cali can't go out there and not get penalties. Can't go out there and not false start. We can keep saying Cali this, Cali that, but Jonathan Taylor just ran for how many yards? How many missed tackles do we have today? Cali's not out there. We can point fingers and boo Cali, but he ain't out there playing, end quote.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you're defending your coach.
Honestly,
that's fine.
I think the best part of all that is pointing out all the defensive failures that were on players because it was terrible.
Right.
And to Ian's point earlier, you know, quit, big word, but definitely slumping and, I mean, the energy
there's
lacking.
No juice.
Yeah, exactly. No juice. You know, you're going out there, you're still smashing heads with 300-pound people, and it's like, yep, I mean, watch a play. It's like, yeah, he still went in there and took a big hit to the body, but no juice, no energy. And just the stuff from Jeff about, yeah, like we could use that, and I'm pretty sure they're not booing their team. Are you sure, Jeff? Because actually in professional sports, players and teams get booed when they're terrible.
Yeah.
When people pay their hard-earned money, and yes, you do. I mean, you're the guy who, like, unlike a lot of these guys out here, they're not millionaires, but you are. And just it's a more tone deafness from Jeff on the fan stuff. Like, they deserve and they should be as angry as they are right now.
Let me tell you this. The fans and the lack of attendance or the volume of their booing should be the last thing on the Tennessee Titans' mind right now as it relates to if you're a player in that locker room or if you're a coach. You better get some stuff figured out. Like, right now, if somebody offered me a ticket to a Titans game, I would say, thank you for the offer. I really appreciate it. I'm going to stay at home and do literally anything else. I will watch it on TV. I will watch other teams play while it's going on. But no thank you. Like, I'm not wasting 5 hours of my time to go out there and watch them try to play football. They're awful. And they've been awful for a long time. That's the thing in the backdrop of this. They've been awful for a long time at this point, and the fans are tired of it. So, honestly, I'm not sure how they hadn't been booed more than they have before all this.
Well, and by the way, what gets lost in this stuff is you still see thousands of people in their Titans gear who want to cheer on the team. They didn't show up in paper bags in their heads. And when something good happens, they're cheering. Like, the loyal thousands of people who are there hoping they could see something other than complete garbage, let's give them a little credit.
Yeah.
I mean, have some perspective on this. It's absurd.
Well, and by the way, like, I don't think it's that much of an ask. Like, yet the fans started booing after your head coach made a total ass of himself in front of everybody in the stands because he has no idea what he's doing. That's the takeaway.
Yeah,
so I realize Brian Callahan's not out there trying to tackle people, but he is the head coach who has put on full display 2 out of 3 weeks so far that he has no idea what he's doing. No clue.
Right. So Jeff, again, you're good to point out the failures of the defense. They were terrible yesterday. And I don't think that any noise on third down was probably going to save you. But that's the booing. The booing is specifically what your coach did that was terrible. He actually botched a situation. I don't know if you noticed or not, but that's what happened. Like, he actually earned it. I don't think people showed up. Well, I can't wait to boo Brian Callahan. It's like, what?
When
you have an announcer who's like, oh, my God, that's unacceptable. Do you know how hard it is to get like the Fox or CBS crew to like rip a coach on a broadcast? It's hard. It takes a lot. It takes something like that.
Yeah. I mean, the Brian Callahan has made it very easy for fans to boo him through the first few weeks.
He's
of this
demanding
season.
It.
He's de- yeah,
he's begging for it.
He's 3-17 as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. I got news for you. You're going to get booed that way. And it's up to them to fix it. And look, I have zero faith that they're going to fix it. Absolutely none. Like, I've seen all I need to see from this coaching staff. They're not cut out for it. They're going to be looking for a new coach at some point. To me, it's just a matter of when at this point. But, like, the idea that, well, I'd sure like to see some of that energy on third down, it's like, ugh, do you live in reality, Jeff Simmons? Like, do you have any idea, like, any sort of connection whatsoever with what's actually going on with your franchise right now?
Yeah, Dennis points out, at least Cam Ward says stuff like, if I was a fan, I'd be pissed off too. Jeff could learn something from Cam. Exactly. This is an easy one. You know, we talk about coach speak and player speak all the time. When stuff like this goes on, they should be mad. We stink. That's it. Leave it there.
Yeah.
Sitting there, yeah, we could use more on third. Come on, man. It's sort of like, as I think more about that quote, it's like, dude.
What are we talking about
here?
So with all this in the backdrop,
it's avoiding accountability, which is a hallmark of him after games.
So with all this in the backdrop, there are clearly, because we've heard from hundreds of them at this point today, there are clearly some Titans fans that are hoping that Brian Callahan's going to get fired today. I don't think that's going to happen today. I don't think. But what do you make of that, Joe, in terms of where he's at right now on the timeline? Like, how close do you think he is to getting canned right now?
Well, Terry from Nashville called in earlier. He brought up a good point. Now we've been talking so much about this Vrabel week, but you're heading to Houston. I still think there was nowhere in the plans with the decision makers of this franchise was there like any consideration that at this point, before we get to October, that they'd actually be talking about having to do this.
Yeah.
And so I really think they don't want to do it in season. And certainly not early season, because again, what are you saying? You are saying the whole lot of us are completely incompetent and we continue to be incompetent. And we'll just play a little shell game and promote this guy and fire this guy and bring in this guy and bring in a few other guys and fire some more guys, and we'll just continue to suck forever. Like, you are declaring your incompetence once again if you fire this coach a couple games into the season. But it may get to the point where it's unavoidable. I still, if I had to guess, I would guess it's more like close to the midway point or something like that. Like if they're 0-9, 0-10. But I don't know, man. I mean, again, I didn't think we'd be having this conversation at this point. I saw nothing last year to suggest that Brian Callahan was going to start having people dream of Rich Kotite as their head coach. I mean, it's astounding.
Well, I guess my follow-up question to all that would be, like, do we got something else coming? Like, is there some other egregiously bad decision that's coming here in the next couple weeks? Like, are they going to get out there on the field on Sunday against Houston and he's going to forget what down it is or something like that? Like, I don't know. Like, what's the next thing for Callahan and this coaching staff? Because so far we're 2 out of 3 weeks where it's just been embarrassingly bad in terms of your in-game decision-making.
So what if they just stink, you know, from here? He doesn't have any more of these where it's like, what are you doing? But they just stink and they just keep losing. And, you know, Cam Ward is, you know, again, Cam Ward, I see talent. I see promise. I there's something there. I'm not, you know, ready to hand over the key to the city to him. But what if it's just that? You just go to the end of the year? Or do you get to a point where it's just like 0-whatever?
What, okay, yeah, what does stink mean? Because if they're 0-8, 0-9, I don't know how you
– what's it look like?
I don't know how you sustain that. Like, I don't – at some point, we all, wins and losses are not everything this year. But they're not nothing either. Like, at some point, you got to win. And I go back to what Borgonzi said before the year. You know, Borgonzi and Brinker, to their credit, I think, like, basically went out of their way to be like, you know, I'm not putting any sort of expectations for, you know, how good they're going to be, anything like that this year. But one thing they did say was, show improvement. Get better. Show improvement. And they have not done that to this point.
Quite the opposite.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Colts and the Brian Callahan discussion coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Albert, to the program. Albert, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's up, Rob? What's up, Rex?
What's up?
What's up?
Hey, nothing, brothers. I was just saying, you know, I find it ironic that Jeff was, quote-unquote, pissed off about the booze, but he didn't have anything to say about Michael Pittman saying before during the pregame that the Titans didn't look like they didn't want to play this Sunday and they knew they were going to win.
That's a great point.
Well, it is. Now, I will say, I don't know this for sure, in all likelihood, when the Titans reporters were talking to Jeff, I didn't know that. So he probably wasn't asked that. But
I mean, who knows? I mean, Titans didn't get in the locker room until about an hour after the game.
That is a fair point, too. Yeah, but
Colts
no,
may have been on the way home, maybe on the plane.
But, yes, that's definitely a great follow-up for Jeff this week, you know? It's like your opponent was saying he saw you guys didn't want to play to start out the game.
Right. Yeah, man, just my two cents, man. I've been a diehard Titans fan for a long time. You know, I just – where's the competition? Where's the competitiveness? That's what I'm trying to see, you know. So.
I hear you. Thank you, Albert, for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, see you, brother.
Yes, sir. So, I mean, it's a great question. We played the Pittman clip. Matter of fact, Ian, do we have that real quick? Let's for those who may have missed it, this is what, according to our good friend Jeremy Gover, who got this interview done after the game, this is what Michael Pittman of the Colts had to say about the Titans and what he noticed in the pregame.
When you hear the crowd turn on the home team like that, just in general, not necessarily here specifically, mm-hmm. is there a blood in the water type mentality for you guys? I mean, every team, every you know, coach, they're all looking for the, any kind of advantage they can get. I think that'd be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of seen it on the pregame intros. They kind of looked a little sluggish. They're kind of walking around, and nobody was really bouncing. And right then and there, like, we all sat there and we're like, they don't want to play today. And I think that's how we found our edge today, is just mentally we thought that we wanted to play more than they did.
They don't want to play today.
Jeremy Gover eliciting quite a quote there. Nice job, Jeremy K. Gover.
They don't want to play today, is what Michael Pittman said the conversation was on the Colts sideline before the game. These guys, they don't have it today. They do not want to be here.
Like I said earlier, I'm always skeptical of quotes like this after a win. Like, people say stuff like this, and it's like, okay, you beat them, so, you know, yeah, they quit. They didn't, you know. But I also believe that they said that to each other before the game. Like, I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that that's a made-up thing.
Yeah.
So that is an indictment. Real quick on Jeff, by the way. First of all, like, when the Eagles go 3-and-out, they can be up 31-0 on the Cowboys, and if they go 3-and-out, they get booed at home. I swear. And by the way, Jeff,
and they're crazy, so I get that. But still, it happens.
Yes, they are the extreme. But and by the way, Jeff, if you guys go in on Sunday and you force a 3-and-out against the Texans, perk those ears up, because those Houston Texans fans will be booing lustily their own team.
Yes,
which is the right of the fan who spends the money to come watch these things.
Thoughts on this? And you've brought this up before in the show, but I think it is worth considering. One texter says, I know that the right answer is it doesn't matter, but do you think Callahan is just buckling under the pressure? Like, he wasn't this boneheaded last year, was he?
No, I said this earlier in the show multiple times. Well, he didn't see these things last year. I think he's in his own head.
Which, again, if that's the case,
he can't do
then
it.
Then you gotta move on. Anymore. Like, he's fired. Like, if
this be a is quarterback a, coach,
if this is how
OC.
He responds to when things get tough, then I'm sorry, being a head coach is just not cut out for you. You're not cut out for it in the NFL, if that's the way it is. I mean, the bottom line is this. You can agree with me or not that right now is the time to give serious consideration to firing him. That's fine. One thing that's becoming harder and harder to defend, like, it feels like it is an absolute inevitability at this point that he is going to be fired. And it's just a matter of, is it happening now? Is it happening after the Patriots game? Is it happening in week 13? Or is it getting all the way through the end of the year? That's what it feels like.
And it's just amazing that we could be talking about that after three games. That no, and this is the whole thing. Remember the whole summer? It's like, so how many wins does Callahan need? And it's like, well, let's see it. What does it look like right now? Titans 0-3. Is that shocking to anybody?
Not necessarily.
You needed to try to get the Colts win. You got blown out. But 0-3, yeah, you can buy that. But again, like, this is why you have to see the things play out, and it's played out as poorly as – you could not write the script for this to be as bad in terms of his own performance.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That is reality.
Looking forward to the press conference today. Could be interesting out there.
Yeah, PK, quit texting us, PK, with your things that I don't understand, and get your questions prepared.
That does it for us today. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.